Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Orlando Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
A baby is absolutely 100% selfish and self-centered and thinks that they are the center of the universe, and every one of us came into the world exactly that way. And sad to say, a majority of us are still that way. No longer do you fall on the floor and suck your thumb or throw a fit, but you know what? You'll just sit there and turn that cold shoulder that'll cause icicles to form on your mate. You have different ways of being self-centered and thinking about things, but you know what? The natural human tendency of a fallen person is to think that it's all about you. And that is Satan's beachhead in your life. That's his landing zone. That's how he gains access to you. Did you know Satan's temptation against Adam and Eve was, I'm rephrasing it, but it was basically God isn't thinking about you. God is keeping something from you. You could be more like God. Think about yourself. Here was God who created this perfect world. Wouldn't it have been awesome to be in paradise with Adam and Eve? You know, the world was perfect. There was not such a thing as a storm. It never rained. There was just a mist that came up and watered the ground. It never rained. There wasn't such a thing as a storm. There wasn't bad weather. There was never a hurricane. There was never a tornado. Everything was perfect. Everything grew perfectly. The perfect climate. Everything was perfect. God had treated them good. There wasn't a single reason for them to be upset with him. But Satan got them to thinking, you aren't being taken care of. He's holding something back from you. And you can phrase it differently, but basically their temptation was selfishness, to think about themselves and to reject the God who had been perfect to them, who had treated them wonderfully, who meant with them every day in the cool of the evening. I mean, God had a universe to run. And yet, God Almighty came and talked with them every day. He had given them honor and respect and been good to them, and yet they thought, it's not enough. I need more. Just like a little kid. You spend $200 on a Christmas present, and they open it and play with it for a minute and throw it down. Is that all I got? That's the way that all of us were. Absolutely selfish. That's the way you started. And you know what? Most people are still absolutely selfish. And if God was to reveal his will to you with that, the very first time a person comes and says something about you, you would be so self-centered, so hurt that you couldn't handle it. You'd be thinking about, why are they saying this about me? You know, I could get way off the subject and teach on a different. I've got a book out there entitled Self-Centeredness, The Root of All Grief. You ought to get that. That is one of the most awesome teachings in the world. You need that. If you're breathing, you got a self. You need that. Every person needs that. But you know, it's only your selfishness that makes you so in tune with what everybody's doing to hurt you. Those of you who talk about, oh, that you don't know what's happened to me and all of this, it's because you're so selfish that you're so hurt. And I know that that really rubs some of you the wrong way. And some of you take offense at that. But the Scripture says we're supposed to die to ourselves. And if you had a corpse down here in front of me in a casket, I could spit on that corpse. I could insult the corpse. I could kick the corpse. I could ignore the corpse. And if it's a corpse, it's not going to respond. You know why you've responded so much to what's been done to you? Because you aren't a corpse. Because you are very much in love with yourself. Self is sitting on the throne of your life. And you know, I can say this with some degree of conviction because, man, I got a lot of people that dislike me. I got blogs that are written about me and people that do things and people just think that they are God ordained to tell everybody that I'm of the devil. And I have a lot of things happen. And you know what? I can tell you that if it was just me, selfish, I would get in and try and defend myself. But the Lord gave me a prophecy in the very beginning, when I was still in the Baptist church, and because of my stand on the Word and the things I was saying, I was getting persecuted and criticized. I'd been voted out of one church and threatened to be voted out of another church. And things were happening. And I went to a meeting, and a friend of mine, Joe Nay, called me out. And he gave me a prophecy. And he says, "Andrew, I see you like a runner on a track." And he says, "You are running good. You're leading the race. But all of the people in the grandstands are telling you you're doing it all wrong." And he says, "I see you getting off of the track and running up into the grandstands and arguing with the spectators." And he says, "Even if you win the argument, you're going to lose the race. Forget what people say about you." He says, "Stay on track. Stay on track." And God used that to speak to me. And I can tell you that I have made this just a habit of mine. I don't do it perfectly, but to the best I can, I just try and ignore what you have to say. I don't like it when people dislike me. I've had people come up and spit in my face. I've had people do all kinds of things to me. I don't like it. It doesn't give me warm fuzzies. But you know what? It's not going to make me quit doing what I'm doing. I'm going to stay on track. And you aren't as important to me as God. And you know why that happened? Because God revealed to me, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And for about 4 months, I thought, "God, I want to be a living sacrifice. I don't even know how to be a living sacrifice. I don't even know where the altar is. But God, I want to be a living sacrifice so that I could prove the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God." And for 4 months, I prayed and said, "God, help me to be a living sacrifice." And then on March the 23rd, 1968, we had a prayer meeting every Saturday night. This will give you an indication of how religious I was. On Saturday night, an 18-year-old boy, I mean, for a year or two, we met together every Saturday night from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock and prayed. And that's what all of my friends did. We got together and just prayed. And we were in this prayer meeting, and the guy who was the youth director of our church, we were sitting around kind of just joking around and kidding around, talking about whatever. And this guy, when he talked to the Lord, he talked like there was actually somebody there. Like he was carrying on a conversation. He would pray and then he'd stop and God would speak to him. And he'll say, "Yes, I'll do that." And he'd pray and it was like a two-way conversation. When I prayed, it was like, "Oh God, forgive us of all of our sins. Send revival. Help us to do this." And it was a monologue. And then at the end, I'd tack on "In the name of Jesus, amen." And my prayer was really puny compared to his prayer. So every time we got together to pray, I would pray first and get my prayer out of the way. Because after Marion prayed, there was nothing left to say. He prayed for the whole world. He'd pray for 20 minutes. And so anyway, we were standing around still talking, and Marion just hit his knees on the floor in the pastor's study and started praying and just crying out to God and talking. And the guy prayed for 45 minutes. And during his prayer, I was kneeling down over there, and instead of enjoying his prayer or communing with God, I was thinking, how rude. He just came in. He's praying. Now, what am I going to pray? What is everybody going to think about me? I said, there's nothing left to say after Marion gets through. And I said, everybody's going to think I'm just carnal and that I don't love God. What's everybody going to think about me? And it was all self. And I was thinking about myself. And I don't know how this happened, but I'd been praying, "God, help me to be a living sacrifice." And it was supernatural. It's just like somebody pulled a curtain back. I don't have any explanation for this. But all of a sudden, I saw what an absolute hypocrite I was and how self-centered my whole life was. And everything I had done, I was leading 2 and 3 people a week to the Lord when I was 13, 14, 15 years old. I started a special youth visitation. I went to the adult visitation. I witnessed. I did everything. I mean, you know, I lived at church. I was seeking God with everything I knew, but the Lord showed me that I was doing it all for myself and for that little pat on the back. And the fact that they had had me come up in front of church every Sunday and say, how many people have you led to the Lord? And I'd say two or three. And I'd bring their scalps back to church with me so that everybody could see what I had done. And God just showed me that I was an absolute hypocrite and that I hadn't done a single thing with a pure motive. And that I had never prayed because I loved God. I prayed so that I could win awards. I had awards. I had attendance awards, daily Bible reading awards. I won all of the sword drills. Many don't even know what that is. I could do anything and everything in the church. And I had a lot of pride in all of the things that I had done. And God just pulled back a curtain and showed me that my heart was wrong. That I was selfish. I hadn't done any of it with a pure motive. And you know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that when we stand before Him, that we're going to have all of these works. Some are going to have works piled up that are wood, hay, and stubble. Others will have works that are piled up that are precious stones and gold and silver. But God is going to set a match to it, and all of the things that you've done in the flesh and for yourself are going to be burned, and it's only what's left. I believe that there are some of us that by the time God gets through putting a torch to our works, we're going to basically be standing there with just a pile of ashes at our feet. And this is where I was. I was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was the most religious kid in our deal that I knew of. And God just showed me I was an absolute hypocrite. God showed me all of these things. And you know, the surprising thing was that instead of me being hurt or offended, I saw, it was the first time I'd ever seen it. And man, after Marion got through praying in front of all of my friends, all of the leaders of the church, I turned myself inside out and I confessed not only things that I'd done, but my motives, my actions.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Find God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Orlando Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1066C for CD or R3210D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU9C titled Becoming a Living Sacrifice when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.